Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians, Serve in Unity. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Love is gracious. God's Word is full of interesting characters. I mean, there's many. One character was an assassin named Ehud, whose story is found in Judges chapter 3, somewhere around verses 12 to 30. After 18 years of serving Eglon, the king of Moab, the Israelites began to pray for a deliverer. God answered their prayers by raising up Ehud from the tribe of Benjamin. His first official act was to lead a delegation of Jews to deliver the tax to King Eglon. Unknown to his traveling companions, Ehud had a two-edged dagger concealed under his clothes on his right thigh. After he delivered the tribute, Ehud returned to Eglon's palace pretending to have a special message from God for the king. Eglon was flattered and sent everyone from the room and locked the door. And when the king stood up, Ehud stabbed him under his ribs, striking a fatal blow. Ehud escaped through the back window. By the time anyone learned what had happened, Ehud brought an army back to defeat the Moabites and free the Israelites. In this session, we talk about assassins. They don't have daggers, but are assassins just the same. Paul identified four assassins. We can call them love killers because of the damage they inflict on relationships. Chances are you felt the pain of one of these attacks on your relationships. Love transforms harshness into tenderness and selfishness into graciousness. It even helps us overlook character flaws. But when relationships get established, we sometimes forget to practice love. Even worse, we allow assassins to destroy relationships. We need to guard our relationships against these killers. Let's begin by reading our larger passage again in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The first love killer is rudeness. Does not behave rudely. Think back to the beginning of a relationship. You are probably on your best behavior. As time passes, we're tempted to take others for granted and treat them differently. Someone wrote that familiarity breeds contempt or indifference. If we give in to that temptation, we can harm those we love by inappropriate behavior. Rudeness means to suffer shame. The word rudely pictures personal shame because of someone's outward behavior. Love does not embarrass others publicly. Love defends against rudeness by courtesy. There is a parallel to this in Exodus 32, verse 25. Writing of the day the Israelites danced with the golden calf, Moses wrote, "The people were unrestrained." That is shameful and improper. Love acts with grace and respect toward others, especially toward those in our closest relationships. The second love killer is selfishness. Does not seek its own. Selfishness in relationships creates an unhealthy competition. Rivalry destroys trust and satisfaction. Consider the meaning of the phrase, love does not seek its own. Paige Patterson wrote, love doesn't seek its own advancement, but that of the object of its love. On the other hand, Shirley MacLaine wrote, the most pleasurable journey you take is through yourself. The only sustaining love involvement is with yourself. The only thing you have is working to the consummation of your own identity. And that's what I've been trying to do all my life. Chuck Colson quoted sociologist Robert Bella about what people expect from our society. He said, from business, they expect personal advancement. From marriage, personal development. And from church, personal fulfillment. This is all selfishness. Love defends against selfishness by putting others first. Jonathan pursued this in his relationship with David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan knew David would be the next king. Instead of seeking his own advancement, he chose to be a supporter, not a rival. The third love killer is rage. Is not provoked. The King James Version adds an interesting dimension to this phrase. Is not easily provoked. Compare that with all the anger we see in our culture. We read about road rage, airplane rage, sports rage, and even shopping rage. Love does not make judgments without knowing all the facts. And when the facts are unclear or unknown, love assumes the best. Love defends against rage by trying to understand. Problems can be a wedge in your relationships or the glue of your relationships. Love attacks the problem, not the person. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The fourth love killer is resentment. Thinks no evil. Another translation reads, does not keep a record of wrongs. That could be paraphrased, love doesn't keep a diary of disappointments. People will disappoint us and hurt us. As a defense mechanism, we often hold those failures against them. Eventually, the unresolved pain leads to resentment. Love sees the need to forgive the offender. Love does not retaliate. Recording wrongs done, harboring resentment, threatening. Love defends against resentment with forgiveness. Love is our example. Jeremiah 31 and 34 tells us, God will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Amen. You have a great day.